We've started a series. What's it all about, guys? Tell me. It's about the Bible. The Bible. You know, we're talking about the power of the Bible. And this morning we're going to talk about the renewing of your mind. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Let's ask God to bless the word as we preach. God, anoint my mouth to preach this word. And anoint every ear, every heart to receive this word and to believe it. And give us the grace and the power to put our feet to it and to live it out. For your glory and for our great benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The power of the Bible. The Bible. The Bible. The most incredible book in the world. Amen. Amen. The Bible is the greatest, the most influential book ever written, bar none. Amen. It is the most read book. It's over 1,500 years old. I was going to say 15,000, but that's like saying dinosaurs existed 4 million years ago, right? It's over 1,500 years old. It's been read and it's been reread. It's been memorized more. It's been recited more. It's been referred to more than any other book ever written. The question is, why is that? And the reason is why is because it has power. The Bible has power to transform lives because it's every word of the Bible comes forth from the mouth of God. Amen? So that's why I'm encouraging you every week in this series to read it, to write it out, to meditate on the Word of God. Because here's what Joshua chapter 1 verse says. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it. How? Day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then, I want to emphasize the words of that scripture, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. That's how important the word is. It's for success and prosperity. Psalm 1 verse 1 is close to it. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join them with mockers, verse 2, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. You know why I tell you to read it, meditate it, study it, right? Because it brings success into your life. It brings blessing, prosperity into your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now the NIV version of that verse 2 there says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be conformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? It says, do not be conformed. Conformed means to fashion alike. In other words, your mind and your character is like the world's. You've succumbed to the pressures of the world around you, at school, at work, through the media. Listen, the devil wants you to live a conformed life that is outside of God's perfect will for you. That's why the Word of God tells us, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but what? Be what? Transformed. Transformed. That word transformed. We get that word, it's from the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis, which means to change into another form, a totally different form. You take that process of metamorphosis, where does it start? In the process, it starts as a worm, right? And it ends up as a butterfly. Totally different looking creatures, right? Or forms, right? And that's what the Bible says. We're to be transformed from the old into the new, into the likeness of God, which is almost unrecognizable. You become a different person, right? Do we see that picture in that term, being transformed? Be transformed, change into another form by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Total change. Meta means beyond. Morphosis means change. Beyond just a little bit of change, but into almost like a total change of who you are, right? You know, it starts with the mind. It starts changing with the mind. There are many different mindsets that people have, right? I want to give you a few. They're listed on the screen. So here's, some people have a negative mindset. Now, you may have a negative mindset, you know, and it becomes a filter that you see everything and you do everything through, right? So even when good things are happening to you and to people, they have little joy or they celebrate little. Even when there are 10 good things going on in their life, they focus on one imperfect thing, right? There's a tilt to the negative in their mindset. You know, some people have a poverty mindset. If you have a poverty mindset, it's probably because you grew up in poverty, and poverty is all you've ever known, right? And if you have a poverty mindset, you rarely are able to help others out because you yourself are often the one who needs the help, right? And so you never realize that you, yes, you, can make a difference, you know? So some people have a fear mindset. They hold on to everything so tight. Why? For the fear of the future, right? They're not able to take risks. You're not able to make tough decisions. You're not able to lead and to move forward for fear of what might happen, right? That's the fear mindset. Some people have a negative self-image. A negative self-image. Maybe that's what you have. Maybe you've taken in words that hurt you. Lies. Like you're not good enough. You're not smart enough, right? You're not good looking enough, right? They're lies. And if you take them in, they will destroy your confidence. Some people have a guilt mindset. A guilt mindset. When you finally do receive something good in your life, you have trouble enjoying it. You just can't enjoy good things that come your way because you've got this guilt mindset. Some people have a perverted mindset. You know, it's corrupt. It's not normal, right? And it's impure. Psalm 115 asks this question, how can a young man, or how can anyone keep their way pure? How? By living according to the Word of God, right? By living to His Word. These are different ways of thinking. These are bad ways of thinking. But here's the good news. The good news is that God can straighten out the way that you think. And you know how He does that? He does that through the power of His Word. The Word of God has the power to change and transform the way that you think, where you think about God, where you think about yourself, where you think about life, about your future. Literally, it changes the course of your life. It all happens up here in the mind, isn't it? And we're going to talk about that later on. There are different ways to think. So the good news is that God can help you with your mind. He can take that negative mindset and He can turn it into a positive, powerful mindset, right? He can take a poverty mindset and transform it into a blessed, and to be a blessing mindset. He can take that fear mindset and give you a mind of faith. He can take that negative self-image and transform it into a confident, courageous type of mindset. He can take that guilt mindset and give you a grateful, thankful mindset. I'm so thankful for the good things that God gives me. And he can take that perverted mind and He can help you transform your mind into a pure mindset. Amen? The Bible said, be transformed, be changed by the renewing, by the renovation, by the change for the better of your mind. Amen? It starts in the mind. And let's admit it. Most of us, and I've done this too, most of us pray that God will change our circumstances. Right? We want God to solve our problems for us. You know? But God has something else in mind. I believe that God would rather transform the way that you think, right, than just change the circumstances of your life, right? That's what He wants. He wants to change the way that you think, right? Because if He can transform what's inside of you, He can change what comes out of you, right? Out of your life and how you live. That's what God wants to do. So here's the big question. So why renew my mind with God's Word? Why? I'm going to give you four powerful reasons why you need to renew your mind with God's Word. Ready? Number one, because your thoughts control your life. Your thoughts control your life. Every action proceeds with a thought. You don't think it, you won't do it. Right? Good or bad. Every action is usually pre-thought of, premeditated, like premeditated murder. Most murder cases have happened because people planned it out. They thought it out. They thought every detail, then they did it. But it started just with one single bad negative thought, right? So be careful what you think. Be careful what thought is going on in your mind. Every action is usually pre-thought. Everything you do, you have thought about. Everything you do, you've already thought about. Oh, that evil desire, it just pulled me in and I just did it. It's like saying, well, the devil made me do it. Did you ever hear that term? The devil made me do it? No? Well, that evil desire, it pulled me in. Did it? Yeah, it did. But you thought about it first. The desire was in you, right? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you accept the thought, I'm dumb. I'm no good. I'm worthless. It's not true. It's lies. But if you believe it, it will shape your life. You know, that's what happened to me when I was going to high school. You know, I believed in some major lies about myself. I got called into the career counselor's office in grade 12 in the second half of the year. And he said to me, Doug, I don't think you should apply for university. I don't think you're going to do very well. Because I don't think you're smart enough. He says, you wrote this IQ test out, and even if you try, you're going to struggle so bad. I just recommend you just get a good laborer's job. You know, it just doesn't require much education. Just put your effort into that. When I wrote that IQ test, I had the flu. I was so sick. But you know, I heard those words and I thought, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I shouldn't make big plans. I don't have much of a future. Right? And that plagued me. And I took in those words. You know, and I let those words start to shape the course of my life. But then I became a Christian. And on the other hand, what I did is I began to take God's word into me. Words like Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Listen, when God's thoughts control your life, you begin to think different. And when you begin to think different, you will begin to live different. Amen? That's the power of God's Word. You know, here's Psalm, we just read Joshua chapter 1 and Psalm 1. And both these portions of Scripture say the same thing to us. It says, you will prosper in all you do. You will be successful in all you do. You will be like a tree planted by streams of living water. And you will bear fruit every single season of your life. But here's the condition. As you read God's Word. Amen? As you read God's Word. I need to renew my mind because my thoughts control my life. Here's number two. You need to renew your mind because your mind is the battleground for sin. Your mind is the battleground for sin. And whatever tempts you is because usually the desire is already in you, right? All sin takes place in the mind. All sin begins in the mind, right? Right between these two ears, right? You know, everything. You think about it. Pride, envy, bitterness, even lust begins in the mind. It doesn't begin in your lower anatomy. It begins in your mind, right? All sin begins in your mind. Even the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men that ever lived, that believed in God, served Jesus, was the Apostle Paul. And this is what he said in Romans 7, verse 22. He said, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? But thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Paul is saying there's a war that is happening, and it's happening in your mind. Your mind is the battleground for sin, right? The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, I love this. He said, I've hidden your word, where? In your mind, right? I've hidden your word, not in my mind, but where? In my heart, right? Your mind processes the word, it takes it in, but your heart believes in the word. What you really believe is not here, it's in here. Right? You wrote Romans 10:9-10. It's with the heart that you believed and you were saved. It's with the mouth that you confessed, right? It's a heart that you believe and are justified, right? So, it says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I believe God wants to make disciples who have transformed hearts, not just informed heads, right? You need to have the word. It can't be just information in your mind. It's got to be heart passion. It's got to be written on your heart. So much for it brings conviction, faith. You know, it brings joy to your life. You know, when I was a young believer, just gave my heart to God, and I knew this older believer, he was 5 years older in the Lord. He was a spiritual giant to me. And he said to me, Doug, every time you read the word, pray to God. Burn your word into my heart. Burn it into my heart. And I prayed that word. I still pray almost every time I read the scripture. Father, burn this word into my heart. Literally brand that word into my heart so it becomes a part of me. Right? So every time I'm tempted to sin or I'm looking for direction, the word is in my heart. I believe it. Faith erupts out of the word that I believe in my heart. Amen? You know, it's got to be more than just information. God doesn't want information. He wants to transform our minds through our words and transform our life. Amen? Third reason I need to renew my mind through the word of God is because a renewed mind is the key to peace and happiness. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Life and peace. Manage your mind, manage your life. Manage your mind, manage your life, right? A clean mind is a clear is a clear mind is a clean life. A clean life is a clear mind. Amen? You know, I love Pastor Mel Mullen is my pastor. He's our pastor. And I love Pastor Mel's book that he wrote. This is Pastor Mel. Let me see, what's the picture of Pastor Mel? Where are you, Pastor Mel? There he is, just Pastor Mel. What an incredible man of God, and Heather, his wife. And Pastor Mel wrote this great book called Be a Man. How many read that book, Be a Man? Every man should read it. Come on. I think we had a men's breakfast a couple of years ago, and a whole bunch of you bought that book. Maybe you haven't read it yet. You need to read that book, right? What an incredible book. And in his book, he tells his whole life story, basically. He talks about that when he was just a kid, he was one of five kids. His mother raised five kids on $34 a month. And he was raised also with an absentee father who was in and out of mental institutions. suffering with low self-esteem and depression constantly. And if you read the book, Pastor Mel tells a story about how he too suffered with almost the same thing as dad. Depression, low self-esteem, and he was on all these medications. And one day, he decided to take all these medications and just throw them out in Jesus' name. And he went on a two-year quest and venture to renew his mind by reading the Word of God, writing it out, meditating on it. He would take scriptures and write it out on cards, and he would read good books. And y'all, now, if you look at Pastor Mel right now, I could probably say he is one of the most positive-minded people I've ever known in my life. Pastor Mel is never negative about anything. He's always powerfully positive. Just a few weeks ago, I phoned Pastor Mel because I heard he was in a hospital. Now, he had booked himself, and he was on to fly out to Africa. He was on the plane, and he was boarding in the plane, and all of a sudden, he didn't feel so good. He felt very weak, and he went, and the attendant saw him, and immediately they took him out. They rushed him to the hospital. They recognized that he was having heart problems, and immediately, you know, they checked him over, and within days, he had dual pacemakers in his heart. One for the top of his heart, one for the bottom of his heart. And so I called him about, I think it was about 2 or 3 days later, I'd heard about it. I said, Pastor Mel, I remember putting him on speakerphone, I was listening to him. I said, oh, Pastor Mel, how are you doing? I expected to hear this croaking voice, and, oh, Pastor Doug, not so good. I had this terrible thing happen. No, Pastor Steve, I am great. Hey, Pastor Doug, how are you doing? He said, yeah, I had this thing happen to me. He told me the story. He said, you know, Pastor Doug, I'm probably healthier than you. I've got a healthier heart than you do. You know that? He said, you know, the problem was the bottom part of my heart wasn't pumping. So they had to put two dual pacemakers in. And I said, whoa, Pastor Mel, that must have been a tremendous ordeal. He said, you know what? It was actually kind of fun. I thought, what? This guy's crazy, you know? He says, it was actually kind of fun. He said, you know what? I had a great time. I got to meet people, and it wasn't that hard. He says, it's a little bit painful, but other than that, he says, it was a really good time. I got to speak to hospital staff about Jesus. I got all these friends that came in that I hadn't seen for a while. He said, I'm in better shape than you are, Pastor Doug. Wow. Isn't that incredible? You see what came down to him, what came down to him from the family line stopped at him. Amen? The curse of the generations has been broken. Amen? That's the power of the Word of God. You know? And if you know his son, Jacob, who is now, you know, lead pastor of Home Church, Jason's a powerful man of God. Is he a man that suffers some depression and low self-esteem? No. Jacob has been set free, you know, from the generational curse because of his father. Stopped at his dad. Amen? Amen? We're to stop those negative things in our generation and every one of our family lines. We can stop every negative thing that's been handed down to us from generations. Amen? Amen? I can tell stories about that in my life too as well. You know, God wants his good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. Amen? You know, God's will is that we walk in faith and not fear. Amen? God's will is that we walk in... we walk hearing babies cry. we walk in confidence and courage, right? Instead of low self-esteem and low self-image. God's will is that we walk in blessing, right? Not poverty. Right? Not lack. That's God's will. That's God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You say, okay, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm going to give you 3 bullet points real quick. All right? Write these down. Number one, feed your mind. Feed your mind on what? The Word of God. Read it every single day. Read it. Write those scriptures that kind of pop out of you out of the page and say, whoa, that's a really good scripture. I can apply that to my life situation right now. Write it out on a card. Stick it out there. Memorize it. The last scripture I memorized was in Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Amen? And that scripture just ministered to me. I've got that memorized, Philippians 1:29. I wrote it out. I wrote it on a sheet of paper. I memorized it. I looked at it two or three times. That scripture is going to be with me for a long time. Read it, write it out, meditate it out, meditate on it. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus himself said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Number one, feed your mind. Number two, free your mind. Free your mind. Free your mind. Two things you need to do. The first thing you need to do to free your mind is shut the door of your mind. Shut the door of your mind to negative words, ideas, thoughts, and sometimes shut the door in the face of negative people. Amen? Now, I'm not saying literally slam the door in the face, but I say distance yourself. Be careful how much time you spend with negative-minded, low-thinking people, limited-thinking people. Amen? You know, spend your time with those positive, you know, productive people who believe God's word and enjoying the blessing of God in their life because they believe that God wants to bless them. Amen? Abundant life. God promised us an abundant life. And then we can receive that. But that's what we got to do. And then the second thing you need to do is you need to take captive every negative thought. Right? Negative thought that comes against God's word, God's truth, that exalts itself. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ." For every negative thought, there is a powerful, positive verse that will counter that negative thought. Do you agree with that? Every thought that you have, there is a scripture that could come and pop that lie that's in your mind, right? And so that's why you've got to read the Word of God. You've got to get inside of you. It's got to be inside your heart. So when that thing springs up, that negative event, situation springs up, you've got this powerful, sharp sword that you can just pull right out and you can take the head off that lie. Amen? You can destroy that lie. That's how powerful the Word is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit." Soul and spirit. What is soul and what is spirit? What is your mind, will, and emotions of you or someone else, and what is spirit? What is truth? Amen? That's the power of God. It just slices between the two. And you know what is lies, deception, you know, presumption, and what the Spirit of God says and what the truth is. Amen? That's the power of the Word. You ever notice that negative thinking is a process? Depression is because of a process of wrong negative thoughts. Do you know that? You know that, you know, you can have I've noticed even in my life, I could have just a great day going for me. I'm just enjoying life. Then something happens. Something negative happens. Maybe just a little thing. Or I hear something, you know, and these words, and these thoughts, this one thought gets into my mind. And all of a sudden, that thought leads to another thought. And leads to another negative thought. And then pretty soon, your whole day, all of a sudden, you're living in this depression, the state of depression, and you're in this rut of depression. You know? So what gets us out of that? The Word of God. We got to get back to the Word. We got to get the Word. You know, negative words, ideas, thoughts, they're just a bunch of lies. Right? They're usually just a bunch of lies. They're not true. And God wants to set us free from lies, negative thoughts, depression, and hopelessness, right? And that's the power of the Word. It has the power to do that. Isaiah 44, verse 22 says, "Listen, I've swept away your sins like a cloud. I've scattered your offenses like the morning mist. So return to me, for I've paid the price to set you free." Set you free. The biggest place we need to be set free is right here, right? Between in our minds. And Jesus said, "Listen, what sets you free is the truth." He says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen? You've got to feed your mind. You've got to free your mind. Number four. Number three, focus your mind. Focus your mind. Be careful what you think. You have the ability to choose what you're going to think about. You have the ability. Choose what you think. Philippians 4 says exactly this. Verse 6, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Which situation? Every situation. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Listen, if you want to have peace, if you want to have a good sleep, I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and I can't get to sleep. This is the first thing I do. This scripture, I repeat in my mind, out of my mouth. Not too loud because I don't want to wake up my wife. But that is a sedative for me. That's a spiritual, that's Holy Spirit sedative. And that's amazing. I thought, God, it's amazing how that works. And sometimes I literally have to get out of bed. I'll get on my knees. I'll go to the kitchen. And I'll just say, God, I've got this on my mind. I'm really being bothered. God, Jesus, here, I just give this to you. The first thing that you need to do is to go to God in prayer. Just tell him. Tell him what you're worried about. Tell him what your fears are. You know, and just give it. He said, God, I just lay that at your feet. Just give it to him. Right? Don't be anxious. Give everything to him in prayer. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it's supernatural, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And immediately, you feel that peace. And all of a sudden, you're asleep. That happens to me. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what do you do? Think about such things. You have the power to choose what you're going to think about. And here, Paul says it right here. Choose these types of thoughts. Give to God in prayer, and then think on, focus on the good things that God has done in your life. The good things that he's going to do in your life. Think about the promises of God that you have for you. There are over 300 basic promises that you can hold on to right away. Start to know what God's promises are for your life, right? And then be thankful. Then be thankful. It says, rejoice in the Lord, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, give your prayers and petitions to God, and the supernatural peace just comes into your heart, and you can live again. Amen? It's possible. It's possible to live with peace, with joy, and with freedom. Amen? It's possible. And it's all through the power of God's Word. He gave you everything so that you can enjoy an abundant life, a blessed life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, how do you renew your mind? How do I renew my mind? I feed it with the Word of God. I free my mind from the lies and the negativity. I declare the Word of God. I speak the Word of God in my situation, in my life. And I just focus on the good things and the promises of God and the great future that He has for you. Amen? Amen. How many of you are thankful for God's transforming power? Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to do it, right? Read it, write it out, meditate. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. New creation. The new comes and the old passes away. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I've received what is new, and I'm still becoming newer, right? I'm in this process. But you may be here, and you want change in your life. I want to tell you that God wants you. The biggest change in your life that needs to start is God wants you as His child. And He wants to give you a life that's new and fresh, and it's alive. And it starts by receiving Christ into your heart. That's where it all begins. But here's what needs to happen. If you want to receive the new into your life, God says, release the old. Let go of the old. Let go of the old ways. And God, just surrender your heart and say, God, I need change in my life. I need an incredible metamorphosis of transformation. I've got hopes, I've got hurts, pains. My past has been checkered by negativity and disappointment. God, I need my life to change. Well, you're here in the right place. The first thing you need to do is give your life over to Jesus, right? Give your life to Jesus. I'm going to lead you into a very simple prayer, but this will be the most powerful prayer, I promise, that you will ever make in your life. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you and invite you into something that's supernatural. It's called being born again. It's like starting over in life and letting God be such a part of your life that your life becomes incredibly different than it was before. Are you ready for that? If you've never invited Christ into your heart, I'm going to lead everybody into prayer. In fact, I want all of us to pray that prayer. Can we just stand up right now? Let's pray this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Today, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you suffered on the cross. I believe that you shed your blood for me. So today, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I ask you to be Lord and leader of my life, starting today and forever. Make me into that brand new person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to say, if you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand right now and hold it up. I see that hand. Any other hand? Come on. If you said that prayer for the very first time, invited Jesus into my heart, I'm surrendering my life to Jesus, raise your hand right now. Anybody else? Come on, raise your hand. Be brave. I see your hand. Thank you. You invited Christ into your life. What an incredible decision. This day is the first day of an incredible journey and a relationship with Jesus. The decision that you've made today is life-changing. You've entered into a brand new dimension where suddenly God begins to take control of your life instead of the circumstances of your world. Amen? So ushers will greet you with a package, and they'll show you the next step on your faith journey with God. Amen? Welcome to a relationship with Christ. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to God's family. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.